I was a self-serious child of 10 or 11. I believed that novels were largely about the weather. In a fit of ambition, I would start The Rainbow or Lord Jim, books I carried around school in the hopes that someone might ask me what I was reading, and which perhaps I thought would inaugurate my career as, what, a grown-up? A thinker? I'm not sure. Every one of them opened up with the same thwarting descent of description. It was an unusually hot March evening in Upper Cornwall. The rain in Burma had been going for days. The clouds lowered over the moor. The first 80 pages of A Passage to India are a description of some caves. I'm pulling that number from memory, so it may be inexact. If anything, too low. But the point stands. I suspected that in the end, humans would walk into this weather. I remember feeling a spark of excitement when a cart threatened to provide me with some in return of the native, but I attached no special primacy to them. I rarely made it farther than 6 or 7 paragraphs into any of those books, which left my illusions about their nature intact. Finally, when I was 12, some intelligent adult, likely my mother, got it over with and gave me The Catcher in the Rye, and I've found the same banal and vibrant sanities everyone does in that book. Really, those novels were right. There are times in life when the weather and the landscape seem suddenly as if they're for you alone, and for a moment there's a novelistic pressure, an interiority, to gazing through a window at the snow, or the wind, or the sun. I'm thinking of the late August afternoon when I was supposed to leave New York for England. It was uncommonly cold for the month, and there was a heavy rain, the kind of day that reminds you, oh, of course, the other seasons are coming soon.
Are you hungry?
Allison asked. I shook my head. Not especially.
Come on, we're forgetting something. You had pizza last night. We got soup from Veselka. What else are you going to miss?
Well, you... My tone had it both ways, mocking this kind of straightforward tenderness and taking credit for it, too. She rolled her eyes.
My hero.
We were in the living room of our apartment on Horatio Street, its estranging collocation of familiar objects, its picture frames, its hanging garden of pots, its chromatically organized bookshelves, seemed so much like a vision of life to me now that I was leaving. I should go soon anyway. I have to check all these bags.
Okay.
She stood up, her long brown hair falling down her shoulders. There was a tangle of silver necklaces spilling in and out of the top of her shirt, and her sweet, intelligent face, prone to worry, was drawn inward with concentration.
Last check, then. You have the bag of medicines I packed for you?
Yes.
And you have a sweater handy in case it's cold when you get in?
I pointed toward the largest suitcase. Yep.
And do you have a book?
The Captive Mind. It's sitting right in the outer pocket of the blue bag, with my headphones and the sweater.
And that bag of pretzels I got you for a snack.
And that bag of pretzels you got me for a snack.
And your passport.
I felt my eyes widen.
Oh, no.
She smiled to acknowledge the joke, and then when my face didn't change, her expression grew uncertain.
Wait. Are you kidding?
I stood up, my ears hot, my face tingling.
I didn't even think about it. Where did you leave it after you got your visa?
Seriously, I don't know. We spent the next 15 minutes rifling through our uncluttered apartment like thieves. I inspected every pile of paper I could find, old bills, Christmas cards, making no effort to reassemble them before I moved on.
How long did it take to get a passport?
Or could Allison's dad get me a temporary one? Good for a week or two until she could find mine and overnight it to England. I was in the bedroom, sifting through our drawers of clothes, mine empty now, when I heard her call out,
I found it!
Oh, God, thank fuck! I ran to the living room where she held the passport up in triumph.
Is that definitely it? Yeah, it was next to mine, from Montreal in July.
I took it and flipped to my picture to make sure.
Jesus, thank you. The apartment is a disaster.
You're right. I'm sorry. Here, I can... She looked at her watch.
No, you don't have time. I'll clean it up when you're gone.
Thanks, babe. I put the passport in my pocket, where it felt like a stiff, awkward panel of hide. Should we go downstairs?
Just come lie with me for a minute first, would you?
In bed?
Yeah. We went into the bedroom. She kicked off her shoes and slipped herself into the sheets, and as I followed her in, she pulled me close, her encircling arms a loose, too loose fortification, the walls of a city anybody could get into or out of.
"A whole year,"
she murmured after a minute. "It's not even that long." I loved her more than I had in months. Months. Our breath began to even out, the silence of the battering rain. I looked at the bedroom, gray in the unlit afternoon, at the cheerful battalion of photographs of us along her dresser, and next to them at her perfume bottles clustered in their leather tray. The quiet disloyalty of objects. How serious it is to be young. It seemed impossible that the next morning I wouldn't blunder sleepily out of that bed, that it would be elsewhere, in a different time. Alice and I had first lain together this way nearly 4 years before, during college. It was April. We'd been on a few dates already, but there was still a formal element to our conversations, even our kisses. One Saturday, my friends Jeff, Ben, and I spent a few hours throwing a football to each other on old campus. We stopped as it began to get dark, and even though I was hot and dusty, I decided to drop by her room. I hadn't been there yet. She lived in Connecticut Hall, a building made of that salmon-white brick common to all of the remaining colonial houses in New England, on the third floor. She answered the door in a hoodie and navy shorts, with Yale written in white along the hem on her left thigh.
"Hey,"
she said, and looked past me, up and down the hallway, as if I might be part of a group.
"Is everything okay?"
Yeah, I just, wanted to say hi. She looked puzzled for another instant, but then her face opened with comprehension.
"Oh, good, sure. Come in, I was watching TV.